The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins as he speaks on the book of Revelation. This is part of a 32-message series called Unexpected Fire. For further study, we encourage you to purchase the book Unexpected Fire by Dr. Peter Wins.
This is study number 25 in our Revelation series. This message is called The Seven Bowls of Wrath. We will read all of Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 1 reads, "Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth.' The first angel went and poured out his bowl on the land, and ugly and painful sores broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it turned into blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. The third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. Then I heard the angel in charge of the waters say, 'You are just in these judgments, you who are and who were the Holy One, because you have so judged, for they have shed the blood of your saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink as they deserve.' And I heard the altar respond, 'Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments.' The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was given power to scorch people with fire. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues, but they refused to repent and glorify him. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. Men gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, but they refused to repent of what they had done. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings of the east. Then I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are spirits of demons performing miraculous signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for the battle on the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him, so that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed. Then they gathered the kings together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and out of the temple came a loud voice from the throne saying, 'It is done!' Then there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a severe earthquake. No earthquake like it has ever occurred since man has been on earth. So tremendous was the quake. The great city split into three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed. God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her the cup filled with the wine of the fury of his wrath. Every island fled away, and the mountains could not be found. From the sky, huge hailstones of about 100 pounds each fell upon men, and they cursed God on account of the plague of hail, because the plague was so terrible." Those who receive this punishment because of the bowls of wrath will be more than guilty. None who are judged will receive eternal penalties for minor infractions or simple mistakes. They will be well aware of their choices. They will have had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, even seeing miracles and people raised from the dead. They will have series of judgments that have come one after the other. Yet they continued to resist the living God and to rebel against him. And so these judgments will come. Revelation 16 verse 2 says, "The first angel went and poured out his bowl on the land, and ugly and painful sores broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast and worshiped his image." This is an angel that will cry from the temple, commanding the seven judgments to be poured out upon the earth. And this first angel pours a bowl onto the land, and everyone who has the mark of the beast, the mark of the Antichrist, the worldview of humanism, as we described it in a previous study, they will contract painful sores all over their bodies, and they will writhe in pain. The saints on earth, it's interesting to notice, will receive supernatural protection from these sores and boils. How do we know that? Because it says that everyone who had the mark of the beast, they got those sores. In other words, the people who wouldn't take the mark of the beast had a special protection. And they did not receive these boils and these sores on their bodies. Those infected will find no easy solution. Strong painkillers may bring temporary relief, but the drugs will soon cause those who are taking them to be weary and lethargic. Many will not have the money to receive these drugs, and soon these drugs will run out. The supply will be gone. No disease has ever affected the world on such a large scale as this one, because every person on the planet who has the mark of the beast, which will be the majority at this time, they will all get these sores. And Christians will once again minister to the wounded. They will rise again to love their enemies, to bless and forgive those who have persecuted them, and even to pray for God's mercy and healing to come to the people. I am convinced that even at this hour, in the last half of the Great Tribulation, during the third campaign, when the bowls are being poured out, that the Christians who remain on the earth, and there will be some, will be such heroes, such people of the faith. If those who had the mark of the beast were to go to them in public, then they would be judged as one of them and be persecuted as well. But secretly, people all through history have come to the Lord behind closed doors in secret places. And I think that will happen even at this stage. And the Church of Jesus Christ will still be ministering care and love to the people who are dying and wounded. But that is only the first of the seven bowls that is poured out. We read in Revelation 16 and verse 3, "The second angel went and poured out his bowl on the sea, and it turned into blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. The first angel poured out his bowl on the land. The second angel pours out his bowl on the sea. The oceans of the world," it says, "will turn to like the blood of a dead man." The water, in other words, will become deadly toxin, and everything in the ocean will die. Harvesting the sea is a huge part of the food quota that the earth depends on for survival. That will all of a sudden come to an abrupt end. There will be no saltwater fish, no mammals, no shrimp, not even seaweed to eat at that time. All will be destroyed. Millions of business people will have to shut down their businesses, and people will starve. The world will be scrambling to survive at this time. And that is only the second bowl that is poured out. We read then in verse 4 of Revelation 16, "The third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood." The second angel had poured out his bowl on the sea, the salt water, But now the third angel pours out his on the fresh water. Every lake and river and stream of water will become polluted. Only subterranean sources will still provide drinkable water. All surface water will become vile and unusable. People will go to special drinking stations, and many will die of thirst or be poisoned from drinking foul water. This will be especially true in the warmer places of the world. Catastrophe has hit the planet at this time. John said that there is an angel who is in charge of the water, and he makes a declaration that God's justice is appropriate. We read about it in Revelation 16 and verse 5. Then I heard the angel in charge of the water say, "You are just in these judgments." It seems that an angel has been responsible for the water sources of the world. This angel has a great army of angels under his command, and he and his angel has cared for the earth's environment. The water angel has protected and stewarded the waters of the world. Because of his leadership, men and animals have had food from the oceans and water from the rivers. When the third bowl is poured out, the salt water becomes toxic, the fresh water becomes undrinkable, and the angel of the water should have reason for concern, for this is his God-given responsibility. He has fought defiling spirits and unscrupulous men who have acted to pollute the waters of the world for centuries. The Creator, who initially gave him this responsibility, is now, because of these judgments, destroying this environment. But this angel says, "You are just in these judgments, O God, because you have so judged them. For they shed the blood of your saints and your prophets, and you have given them blood to drink as they deserve." The Lord always looks for agreement from both the angels and man. That's what prayer and prophecy is all about. It is important that this angel who is in charge of the water goes even against his own responsibility and says, "Yes, Lord, I am in agreement with what you are doing." And people on the earth, Christians, will say, "Yes, Lord, it is time." Unity is further emphasized by the voice of men at this time. We read in Revelation 6, verse 10, "How long, O Lord, sovereign Lord, holy and true, will it be until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Who is saying that? It is the martyrs, those who have died, and they cry out from under the altar and say, "Lord, how long will it be?" But the Bible tells us in this chapter, when all of this trauma is coming upon the earth, in Revelation 16:7, John said, "And I heard the altar respond, 'Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments.'" In other words, now finally, the martyrs who have been killed for their faith in Christ are being avenged. They have had to wait a long time till the end of the book of Revelation, to the end of the great tribulation, before they will be avenged. But when these judgments of the bowls are poured out, at that time, there is agreement from the angels, and the martyrs say, "Yes, Lord, God Almighty, true and just are your judgments." In other words, "Lord, you are finally avenging us." And then we go to the fourth bowl that is about to be poured out. We read this in Revelation chapter 16, verse 8 and 9. It says, "The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was given power to scorch people with fire. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over the plagues, but they refused to repent and glorify him." We learned that first the land and the water will be violated, and then the air will become deadly as well. Now the fourth angel will pour out his bowl upon the sun, and its rays will create like burning lasers. The ozone layer of the earth will be destroyed. Anyone exposed to direct sunlight for any length of time will be scorched. Human skin will burn and bubble and blister, and no amount of sunblock cream will suffice. The combination of these four bowls being poured out on the earth will be absolutely unbearable. Think of it. All food from the sea will be rotting on the coasts, causing outbreaks of plagues and disease. All fresh water on the globe will be poisonous unless you get it from a deep well or have some kind of machine to purify it. People will be dying of hunger and thirst. And then they will have painful boils all over their bodies from this plague, all those that worship the Antichrist. And then, with death and suffering on every side, people will be confined to their homes and shelters during the daylight hours, because if they go outside, the rays of the sun will actually blister their skin. The world has become a place that is almost uninhabitable. And yet, even at this point, it says still many sinners will remain defiant. They cursed the name of God who had control over the plagues, but they refused to repent and glorify him. And then the fifth bowl of the seven is about to be poured out. We read about this in Revelation 16 and verses 10 to 11. It says, the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. Men gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, but they refused to repent of what they had done. So the fifth angel pours out his bowl on Satan's kingdom, and beasts and demons, the beast and the false prophet and demons, will plummet into darkness. You see, before this time, Satan and his demons had a kind of diplomatic immunity. Yes, if they come and live inside a person, we who are walking with Christ can take authority over them and cast them out. We can also resist them and tell them, you cannot come any closer. We can walk with God so that angels will protect us. But before this time, the devil could be in the heavens, he could be in the air, and he could roam around on the earth seeking whom he may devour. He can't just come and live in people unless there is a curse or some legal opening into their lives. But still, if that opening is there because of certain kinds of sins, Satan can come and his demons and bring all kinds of trouble to people, including sicknesses and relational breakups in homes and accidents and premature deaths and mental illness and the inability to conceive children, all kinds of poverty and troubles at every stage of life could come to people because of the activities of demons. And if those people are living in sin, or their parents have sinned in such a way so as to pour a curse upon them, then only the blood of Jesus and the work of the cross can break the power of those demons and send them out the door. But we cannot destroy the demons, even at this time. Do you remember when Jesus was casting out demons while he was in Galilee? And the demon screamed out and said, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Have you come to torment us before the appointed time? There's an appointed time for demons to be thrown into hell and to be destroyed. But that time has not yet come. But here, and in this last campaign, in the pouring out of the fifth bowl, we read that the demons and their kingdom will be thrown into darkness. Chaos will finally come. Their time has come to an end. They will be writhing in pain as well. They will come to frustration and confusion. They will realize that their end is just around the corner, and already they will start to be traumatized by the power of the living God that will come. And then we read about the sixth bowl. The scripture says in Revelation 16 and verse 12, the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings of the east. So the sixth bowl will cause the river Euphrates to once again be the focus of world attention. At this time, it will be the border of Israel. And the Lord is the one who sets the boundaries of the nations and gives them their appointed time. Israel has been promised the land from the Nile all the way over to the river Euphrates. And she has never had all of that property. But you can be sure it will happen, for the Lord promised it. And at this time, there will be the drying up of the river that is right on their borders. And the scripture then says in Revelation 16, verse 13, then I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs, and they came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And they are spirits of demons performing miraculous signs, and they go out to the kings of the world to gather them for the great battle on the great day of God Almighty. At this time, three war-mongering demons that look like frogs will emerge. They will come out of the mouth of the devil, the beast, and the false prophet, and they will go to the nations to perform supernatural signs and wonders, and their trickery will have a specific purpose. It will be used to deceive the nations into thinking that they have enough supernatural power to fight against God and his people. And the people and the demons will be so defiant that they are predisposed to attack the kingdom of God, and they will gather together. It says in the 16th verse, then they gathered the kings together to the place in the Hebrew that is called Armageddon. This will be the mustering for the great war. The kings of the east referenced here will likely be the rulers of China, North Korea, India, and other surrounding nations of the Far East. But we are told that they are not the only ones that will be involved in this great battle of Armageddon. But the whole world will come and participate in this battle as well. The nations will be gathering for the battle of Armageddon. Troop deployment of this magnitude takes time, but it will begin at this moment. This will be the largest gathering of troops in all the history of mankind. And God will dry up the Euphrates and initiate war. Although Satan, the beast, and the false prophet will think it is their idea to begin to attack Jerusalem. We read in Joel chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, about this gathering that the Lord himself orchestrates. In Joel chapter 3, we read in verse 1, in those days and at that time when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will enter into judgment against them concerning my inheritance, my people Israel. For they scattered my people among the nations and divided up my land. They cast lots for my people and traded boys for prostitutes. They sold girls for wine that they might drink. This is one of the eight end time promises that God gives to Israel. He says at the end of the age, he will gather the nations together to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And there he will judge them on how they treated Israel. He will judge the nations because they divided up the land of Israel, which is God's land.
He will judge the nations because they scattered the people of Israel and persecuted the Jewish people. If we read on in the next part of Joel chapter 3, verses 9 to 12, it says, "Prepare for war. Rouse the warriors. Let all the fighting men draw near and attack. Beat your plows into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weaklings say, 'I am strong.' Come quickly, all you nations, from every side and assemble there. Bring down your warriors. O Lord, let the nations be roused. Let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all nations on every side." The very next verses in this book of Joel clearly illustrate the last campaign of the great tribulation that we have been studying. They speak of the sickle, the harvest, and the winepress of God's wrath. Take a look. In Joel chapter 3, verse 13 to 14 and verse 16, it says, "Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, trample the grapes, for the winepress is full, and its vats overflow. So great is their wickedness. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the sky will tremble, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel." The valley of Jehoshaphat is mentioned here. In all of Israel, there is no place called the valley of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat means the place of judgment. And this place of judgment, people believe, is the Valley of Armageddon. If you come with us to Israel, we will show you this valley called the Valley of Jezreel, the Valley of Armageddon. The scripture then says in Revelation 16 and verse 17, "When the seventh angel pours the seventh bowl, a loud voice from the temple says, 'It is done.'" Just like Jesus cried when he was on the cross. He said, "It is finished." Just like when the Lord created the heavens and earth, and on that last day, he said, "It was done. And behold, it was very good." This is another one of those times when the scripture says, "It is done." Because the final judgments, the seven bowls of wrath, have been poured out. And this last bowl has to do with an earthquake and terrible hailstones coming. In Revelation 16, verse 18, we read, "No earthquake was ever like this, ever occurred since man has been on earth. The cities of the nations collapsed." All the people who are already dying from hunger, thirst, depression, tormenting darkness, plague, scorching heat, and infection will now suffer the collapse of their homes. They will be in their homes just trying to survive from the rays of the sun. Most of the people will be sheltered there, but then the earthquake hits. And those who are not crushed will be left with no home, no refuge for comfort. They will be out in the open, exposed to the lethal rays of a burning sun, and all the essentials of life will no longer be available. And the earthquake that hits the spirit world will strike the heart that strikes the heart of Satan's camp, will also split this world into pieces. It is amazing that it holds together. Finally, we read in verses 17 to 21, that from the sky, huge hailstones of about 100 pounds each fell upon men. And they cursed God on account of the plague of hail, because the plague was so terrible. Stones or ice that is weighing 100 pounds is about 2 feet across. Even some would might be 3 feet across. That is how big the hailstones would be. And can you imagine if that came crashing down out of the sky like a big rock. Everything that it hits, if it hits a tree, it will break it. If it hits a house, it will break it. It will kill anything that is in its path, and it will come down all over the earth after the earthquake has come. The scripture says here in this chapter, and they cursed God on account of the plague of hail, because the plague was so terrible. So here are the seven bowls of wrath. The Lord says these are the last judgments, because with them, the judgments of the Lord will be complete. Can you see what the earth will look like after this has happened? No drinking water, nothing to eat, no place to live, earthquake everywhere, and the sun having such powerful rays that it will burn your skin if you're just out in the sunlight, and already you have boils all over your body. There will be Christians who will be alive at this time. For the Lord says that when he returns, he says, and then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the air. It will be absolute, powerful protection, supernatural heroes of the faith who will endure to the end of this tribulation period. But they will be there as bright, shining lights in the midst of a dark world, a demonic world, and a God-forsaken world.